Oh, yeah. Let's just see how this thing works here. It's the news. According to me. Yeah, it's Friday, June 13th. I think the day before Juneteenth. Is it June 14th or 19th? I don't remember. Anyway, it's June 13th. 6:46 a.m. That's early. It's really early. Almost 6:47. 2025. Here we are. It's middle of the year. Middle of 2025. And almost. And we have, I don't know. A few things to talk about. A couple things going on. And I will talk about them because it's the news. And it's according to me. Every time I say that, it's just, that's what I hear. Anyway, good morning. It is a Friday morning, Friday the 13th. Not that that matters about anything. I am here with I am your host on this glorious day. We have, you can call the show, by the way. Let me check. I'm just going to check real quick here, see if there's any messages for me. I don't think there are. Sometimes there are, but they're nothing. That's ridiculous. But the, not that your stuff is ridiculous, but let's see here. What do we got? We got anything? Where'd it go? It's right there. Yep. Nothing. Nothing there. Nothing there. So no one has called in the last 24 hours, which is kind of weird. No one has left any messages, which is kind of weird. So you're all weird, but you're just all a bunch of weirdos. And I, your faithful weirdest of the weird leader, shall guide you through this and navigate this tumultuous thing we call the news. We have a little puppy here by my side. He's chewing on something. He's been in rare form this morning. He has been out of control. Normally mornings, he's been pretty sedate here, but this morning, I don't know if he got into an energy drink or something. I don't know what which is weird because I don't have any of those around the house. So I don't, maybe he drank some of my tea or something. Speaking of tea, I got in my cup here, my main cup. I still don't have any creamer. I haven't got any creamer. I may be on my list of things to do today, among many. I have a cup of hot chai, with a little bit of whole milk in it because I don't have any creamer. And then I've got my backup cup, which is, it's aged to perfection right now. It is perfect. The sweet tea with the peaches, most of them are floating, some of them are sunk. Now that means that they're starting to lose, they're starting to chemically change, starting to ripen even more. And then that becomes that's when the flavor starts to really blend into the tea. Just enough. It's not overwhelming. It's just, I got a little bit too much crushed ice in it. For some reason, my ice machine was stuck on crushed ice this morning. And so I had to change it back and forth a couple of times to get the cubes to come out. I don't really care for crushed ice too much because I like it in some things, but I don't really care for it in my sweet tea because what happens is that that's the thing, which I had some sweet tea yesterday from Chick-fil-A. Yeah. The problem with the size of crushed ice is that it's the little chips and stuff, as you're trying to, take a sip, I just don't like ice coming into my mouth when unexpectedly. And my taste buds don't need those kinds of surprises. And not that you can really taste ice, but it's just the texture of the thing. The size of the ice at Chick-fil-A is just about right. It doesn't come through the straw. First of all, you get a straw typically, but even when you don't have a straw, you can keep it from going past your sipping thing, your formation there, embouchure. And so it's just I'm noticing my chair tends to do a lot of creaking. I don't know if you can hear that or not. If you're wearing headphones, you can probably hear that. Maybe it's time for another chair down here. In fact, this chair would probably be better up in my, I think I know what I'm going to do with this. We're going to change the chair situation around. The dog now finally has kind of collapsed on the little pillow down here on his little dog bed. And he's just kind of he's got his head down on the pillow and he's kind of mouthing at his little chew toy like he's trying. He's trying to stay awake, but he's really kind of tired. So hopefully he will settle down for this whole entire broadcast. He's a 90-pound puppy, a Beauceron, French Shepherd, some people call him. And, yeah. If you ever watch the movie 101 Dalmatians, the cartoon, it's a cartoon movie, the original. The pack, Cruella de Vil, her pack of bad dogs, the bad pack. The head of that pack was a Beauceron. Most people don't know that. But that's one of the famous Beaucerons in the world, is the one that was a bad Beauceron. However, this one's really happy-go-lucky. He's the total opposite of that. Very happy-go-lucky, gets along with everybody, loves kids, loves other dogs, but he kind of gets a little bit pushy, wanting to play, over-exuberant, doesn't realize he's, you know, big enough to. He's like a herd of buffalo in a china shop, but he's quite fun. He's quite interesting. Gets a little bit annoying sometimes, don't ya? But he's normally very a lot of fun. He's just a lot of fun. So we have. I went for a ride in the truck yesterday after I got it all washed and waxed and all shined up. I haven't cleaned the inside yet, but the outside is looking like a brand new truck, except for all the rust. Well, it looks like brand new rust, which is, you know, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Clean the tires, clean it all up pretty well. And he went for a little ride in that thing, and I forgot that he likes to come up front a lot, and I don't have a way to keep him in the back there very well. So that was an interesting adventure. And we only went for about four miles, but he spent about three miles of that trying to get up the front seat, which is, you know, it's a little bit hard to do while you're driving down the road. But it was a fun day. Anyway, why am I talking about all this? Because you want to know, that's why. And I don't have a sponsor. See, if I had a sponsor, you'd be spending 5 minutes of the show or 10 minutes of the show or 20 or 30 minutes of the show listening to some advertisement. Whereas with me, when I have a word from my sponsor, it's usually that's it. That's all you get. That's what you get. Now, onward and upward. I have to keep an eye on my recording device here because for some reason this little thing I use, the software that I use on this computer, has a tendency, and it's Apple software. Has a tendency to just stop recording. It keeps going. The little line keeps going, but the audio drops out. And I'm not sure why. It just does that occasionally. You'll have to reset everything, and then it starts to work again. But I don't know. So I might lose the whole show. Which is really frustrating. Usually it's right in the middle of when I'm really getting passionate about something because it's, you know, I'm not paying attention to that thing, and all of a sudden the next thing I know hasn't been recording for the last 5 minutes. So you miss the best parts of the show. Which is why I probably should record this with a backup. That's what I'm not doing today. So we'll see what happens. That is really good tea. Did I mention that's really good sweet tea? And the couple things I want to talk about. One is, okay, Senator, what's his name? Padilla, whatever the guy's name is. The Democrats are just driving me nuts. I think what is bothering me the most about what the way they're acting, just between the media, now the media is not quite going along with everything anymore. CNN has actually had some shifting in their reporting. Now if they're realize they're only doing this because they realize they are on the ropes with their credibility. If they can get Donald Trump's poll numbers down, and if they can get themselves back up in the polls and people watching again, which summertime, I got to tell you, during the summertime, you just don't have as much. People aren't inside as much. They're not watching as much. They're outside doing more activities, especially, you know, yard work, whatever it is. The northern part of the country, the northern states, are out and about doing things that they can't do all winter long. So it's a little different of audience that you get. And it's so they and they don't necessarily like that. So they're trying to do anything they can to get clicks, to get watches, to get, you know, to get their and they're what's the word? They are complying a little bit with normal standards of journalism. And I mean a little bit. When I say a little bit, I mean, you know, 2% more. To try to get the you know, a little bit of credibility, you know, or to maintain a little bit of credibility before they flatline. So CNN and even MSNBC has had a couple, but they actually are asking some good questions of some of these people who are doing their deporting and doing the rioting over the deporting. And it's been interesting to hear. And even Fetterman, Fetterman has been a pleasant surprise after he got his brain back. He started making some sense in some of his policies and some of the things he says. He's just not going along right with the typical, how you say, Democrat rhetoric, leftist. It's not even really Democrat rhetoric. This is the Democrat Party is infested with Marxists, and that's the biggest problem that they have right now is that they've allowed this kind of. Oh, look, we have all this energy in the party, not realizing it was not good energy to have in the party. And of course, now that part of that energy is taking over. And when you have Schumer, who can't hardly even, you know, you've got these old guys up there, old people up there trying to guide the party. And they have this new guy, David Hogg, former victim of a high school shooting, gets voted in as the co-chair or the vice chair, whatever it was, whatever, what were they calling him, of the DNC, the Democratic National Committee. So he gets voted in as this thing, and then he starts going against the party. He starts wanting to primary current candidate. You see, candidates that are in office, this is where the little, you know, the sausage is, you start seeing how the sausage is made here. The whole purpose of the party, or the DNC, the RNC, people pay good money or go along with the party line, do their thing, to get money, to get funding for their campaigns. They are the elected officials. They are in charge of their district, whatever it is. And you have to have support from your party leadership. Well, when that support goes away for no reason at all other than just, well, we don't agree with what you're doing. It might be popular with your district, but we're not going to go along with it. We want to get you out of there and put in our people. That becomes a problem. Now, it's a whole other issue for something like someone, you know, some other senator, some other, you know, congressman, some other person, some other individual who wants to start a PAC group and try to primary somebody. That's a whole different issue. When the DNC itself, or the RNC, either one, tries to get their people out by primarying them, that is a conflict of interest. That is a, you know, unless they just are going against everything, you know, that Democrats stand for. And maybe they've committed some kind of a, which I don't, you know, please tell me, what do the Democrats stand for other than all the list of lies I told you about? You know, they're the party of anti-life. They're the party of, you know, they're pro-abortion. They're pro-illegal immigration. Who's going to clean your toilets, Mr. Trump? Who's going to pick your crops? Who's going to... So we need this underclass, apparently. They are the party of war, apparently. They become the party of, you know, just continuing to send billions of dollars to By the way, what is happening in Ukraine? Has anybody paid attention to that? I guess, you know, there's some things that have happened between Russia and Ukraine. It's just not making much headlines because Trump. He's a fascist. He's a dictator. He's a racist. All we're being told now is that these ICE raids are completely just, it's just fascism. We've got to fight the fascists. Fight the fash. Now, what's going on? So now they're getting David Hogg out. And surprisingly enough, because they don't like David Hogg now because he was going against the party. So they try to get rid of this guy. So they try to oust him. Well, they ask him to leave. He didn't leave. So now they come up with some other way to get him out of there. What they're doing is, there's too many white guys. Now, there's another guy they wanted to get out as a black man. They got him out on gender issues. Well, there's not enough females here. So we got to get that guy out. David Hogg is a white guy, so he can't have too many white guys. And so he's going to be ousted based on that. So the people elected him, but wanted him. But you can't have him because guess what? DEI. We have to have these percentages. We have to have a certain number of people here. You're this guy explaining the rules. I should play this. I should put this thing on a cart, actually, and play it every day. This guy, he goes on and on about the rules about, you know, if we elect this person and then these people have to pick from whichever one was elected between, you know, because we have to have one of each gender and one from a gender that's unknown and then another one from a particular has to be something other than white, whatever it is. One has to be Asian, one has to be all these things that they have to have in their little council. Because that's more important, because diversity is our strength. No, a common vision is our strength. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what gender you are. A common vision is our strength. You want to see a country come together and be strong? Try being attacked on 9/11. The country came together for a short period of time until we started realizing we were being taken by the powers that wanted to use that crisis to take advantage of us, the Patriot Act and TSA and Homeland Security, all that stuff. Sweeping reforms came in. The only thing that was really done since 9/11, they did have conformity and I should say consistency for the most part with TSA with going through airport security was fairly consistent. I'll say that. I disagree with a lot of it with what they're doing, especially with employees and crew members, especially crew members. But the idea that it was consistent at least throughout the country. Now, because you could go to different parts of the country. There were places where, you know, crew members, they would take you into the ticket area. You'd walk into the airport, they'd take you through the ticket area and walk you right out to the airplane. You never even saw security. Then there were areas where, you had to go through security and you had to have your bags checked and everything. There was places like that as well. Usually you got expedited to front of the line, but it was still had to go through security. Now that's the case almost everywhere now. Even if you're a crew member, there's places now you have known crew member, and then of course that's going away as well. But yeah, I think in August or October or sometime this fall, supposedly it's going away. But because there was a lot of different contract companies doing airport security in different places, and it was very inconsistent. Now at least it's consistent. However, I don't agree with half of what they do or the way they do it. However, it's not a bad system. It's just it could be a whole lot better. However, we have this we have a cup of chai. I need to take a sip of this. Yeah, I'm just going to back up. This, I'm getting way off track. I wanted to talk about this. One of the topics I really want to talk about is this Padilla guy. So he's a senator, supposedly. He's a senator. He He really is. He's elected by people to represent them. That's what you're elected to do as a senator or congressman or whatever you do. Now, believe it or not, Adam Schiff now is a senator because he got censored in the House, so he couldn't do anything there anymore. So he jumped over to the Senate. And he still has this whiny kind of attitude. He's just, anytime he talks about something, well, you see, he sounds like a little kid that's trying to, I see him, you know, he's just a little kid out in the driveway and somebody took his candy and he's just all upset about it. And he's all upset. And he's just whiny, cry. Anyway, he's out talking about this whole thing too as well. Everybody's talking about this. It's the news cycle thing now. It's all hand related, in hand related to the protests going on and all the immigration issues. This guy, his name is Senator Padilla. He was detained. He was arrested. Now, what happened here is, now if he was holding a press conference. And I walked in. I'm not a member of the press. I've got a podcast, but who doesn't? And I walk into this press conference, and it's not a Q&A time. It's just somebody giving a speech and talking about giving a report. And I start disrupting the meeting and saying, "Hey, I want to ask you some questions. I got some questions for you, Senator Padilla." I don't know how he would react. Now, he would probably make a point. Not now. He would probably make a point of, "Oh, yes, I want to hear your questions. Yes, let's just stop everything, and I want to hear your questions. Don't mind me and my, you know, my report here that I'm giving. Let's just start letting people disrupt the meeting here. Just have your own way. It's your agenda. It's all about you. Just let it turn into chaos. No decorum, no respect, nothing. Just go ahead and shout out your questions." While I'm in the middle of a sentence here. Well, that's what happened. That guy walks in, doesn't identify himself as a senator, which wouldn't have mattered, in my opinion. I don't care what are. It's like some of these people who do these things, they go, "Well, I'm a senator. I need to have, I'm conducting my oversight, my constitutional oversight responsibilities. Like, you have to let me in to see this." No, you don't get to do surprise attacks. Here's the problem with these people going into some of these detainment centers and all that kind of stuff. They need to have prior authorization. They need to have, because there's a security issue. You don't just walk in. Nobody can just, I can't just walk over to the jail. Even if I'm the governor or the mayor or whatever it is, whatever I am, if I'm a judge, whatever I am, I can't just walk over to the jail and say, "I want to walk into this jail. I'm just going to walk around and look at whatever I want to look at. I'm conducting my responsibilities, oversight responsibilities." Can't just do that. Because they're responsible for your security. Now, I can see how that could be abused. They could say, "Well, let's clean this place up because the senator's coming." That's their whole thing. That's why. But that's ridiculous. Now, if they had a whistleblower, that's what whistleblowers are for. Okay, so that's why you have the whistle. And just ask Adam Schiff about whistleblowers. He loves to say that word. I think he said it about 10,000 times back in Trump's first term. It was a blower. The point is, they act like they are kings of the land who can step in and do anything they want to because they're a senator. No, you can't do that. You might represent me, but if I show up to do what you just did, I would be thrown out. And since you represent me and you go to do it on my behalf, which I didn't ask you to do, but that's because you're being an activist at that point. You're trying to create a show. You're trying to create a havoc, chaos. Make it, you know, you're trying to get something out there. You're trying to make a name for yourself is really what it amounts to. You know, like Oboico Garcia. Anyway, the craziness of this all. So this guy busts into this meeting. So he's okay. So now he's there. He's creating a nuisance. starts asking questions, and just interrupting the meeting. He's asked to leave. He starts to leave. Then he turns back against the officers. This is when you hear, even the CNN reporter was talking about this. When, as soon as he turned back around against the officers and they were trying to push him out, they realized he was not going to comply. He was asked to leave for security reasons. On his way out the door, as they were getting him out of the room, he starts saying he's Senator Padilla. Now, anybody can say they're a senator at this point. You can't listen to that. Oh, I'm so-and-so. I'm the president of the United States. Well, I'm the king of the world. It's just, you can't just take somebody's word for it. They have to show you some identification. And now, here's the problem. Even if you are a senator, just put it this way. Shame on you for acting like that as a senator. You should know better. Because you're out of line. You're out of purpose. You're just, now you're grandstanding. You're making a point. You're not a member of a media. You're being an activist. And that's not what you're elected to do. This is why I have a really hard time with all these little ping pong signs and everything else that they do out there. That someone's giving a speech and they see these senators and congressmen, they're out there waving their little signs around, which is, I believe it's just, in terms of decorum, it's embarrassing. It's, you know, maybe you should have the right to do it, okay, but doing it, do it at your own peril, because personally, I lose respect for you when you do that kind of thing. I think it's disgusting. It's like going to church and holding up a sign that says something. It's just, what are you trying to say? You have your moment. You have your time to speak. You have your vote. Stop with a little, whose heart are you changing by holding? It's all about you when you do that. It's virtue signaling. It's self-aggrandizing. It is this idea that you are righteous. You're the righteous one in the room. That's all this is. It doesn't do anything to change the situation at all. You're not changing anybody's minds. You're not changing anybody's heart. They have this. There's a really good video. I recommend you go out there and try to find it. But this lady trying to go to work, happens to be a black lady trying to go to work, trying to take care of her family. And they block her from going. I think she's a nurse, possibly. I'm not sure. Not positive. Trying to get to work. And they won't let her through. They block the highway. And she said, "What? You know, I'm just trying to. I don't want to lose my job here. I need to get through. I'm going to go to work." And some guy in the background goes, "Oh, work!" Like is he real sarcastic? Like, "Oh, work is. Oh no, not work." Like as if it's life or death. Well, for her it is. And you're not winning anybody over by doing this. You're just disrupting people's lives who have nothing to do with what's going on. You're not raising awareness. There's plenty of awareness out there. And besides that, what about awareness? Are you changing anybody's mind with it? All you're doing really is hardening the divide, hardening the polarization. Because there are people out there who are legitimately ticked off at you now. If anybody was in the center on this issue, now they can't get to work. Now they can't get to their, you know, whatever their appointment is, they can't pick up their kids from whatever thing that they're going to. Whatever it is, you've just now shut it off. And here you are, blocking them because you feel righteous and you want to parade yourself around out there. Now, don't want anybody to know who you are, but yet you just want to make sure that you feel good about yourself. That's what this is all about. Much like the people on there's different degrees of this, but you see people on social media all the time posting stuff that's just, "Oh, this has happened today. Oh, this is atrocious. Oh, this guy's..." The keyboard warriors that don't actually believe anything they're saying. they say it. They do. They've got themselves in a delusion because they won't take any time to actually do any research, go out and ask anybody any questions or do anything. they don't pay attention. They just listen to whatever the media tells them to do, or post whatever meme they see for the day that tells them to, you know, copy and paste it, whatever they're doing. And it becomes more and more, in my opinion, how you say, frustrating, disgusting, and just downright fatiguing, in my opinion. I think that there is a certain amount of fatigue over this whole, you know, they thought that the George Floyd riots were productive in the fact that they think that led to Trump's demise, or how it helped to tear down the administration, made it look like chaos was going on, and Trump wasn't in control, and Trump wasn't, you know, Trump was just causing a mess in the country. And now we're finding out that the mess in the country is probably being funded. And we all know this. It's like I said yesterday, there was these groups. There used to be these groups called Acorn and everything else. Back when it came to abortion rights and all the stuff with the Supreme Court was going on and everything else was happening. Which, by the way, over the next few years, you know, that's going to happen again. Some Supreme Court judge is going to go during Trump's term. He's going to get another chance. What is this, like five? I mean, you got three more years here, more than that, you know, more 3.5 years, basically, of Trump. So he's probably going to get another Supreme Court judge in there somewhere. I wouldn't be surprised if Clarence Thomas steps down. Of course, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she hung on until she was dead. She was, some might argue beyond dead, but she ended up... So he ended up getting, because she wanted to be the first, you know, she wanted to be replaced when Hillary got elected. That was her thing. She wanted to wait. Let a female president choose the next one. She wanted to step down. Well, that didn't work out too well for her. So the ended up, These riots now are being funded and of course organized, and now they're being caught. They're getting very bold about it. Now, of course, they're spreading around to other places because there's raids going all over the place. So they're protesting, quote, protesting the ICE agents, trying to rise up in all the blue cities. And of course, that the Democrats are part of this. Now they if you dig into this very far, you realize that they are really behind it. The Democrat Party is all about this, and they're actually supporting this. There are some questionable Craigslist ads and some other things out there. Some of them have been determined to be bogus trolls. Some of them are you're kind of wondering whether they're real or not. There's some allegations and some questionable posts out there that make it look like, hey, you can get paid $6,000 to $12,000 for a week to cause havoc and destroy things. There have been some ads that have been traced back to supposedly to Joaquin Jeffries, the speaker, the minority speaker, I should say, the minority leader in the House, Democrat. Leader, and just other things that are just kind of weird, and yet at the same time, very plausible, and some of them look pretty legitimate. Many of them have traced back to some NGOs. That now the other thing that one of the crazy things that Kristi Noem said yesterday, probably the most important thing, is they're getting the IRS involved, they're getting some other agencies involved, and seeing where the funding is coming from for all this stuff, because they're bringing, you know, posters and signs and all the stuff that they have, the gas masks, everything that they have is being supplied. The posters are all being pre-printed, and this is when you look at a protest and you see about five different signs, but they're, you know, you see them 100 times. In other words, you'll see all the signs out there, and you'll see two or three of them are two or three different messages that they all have, and they're all printed exactly the same. And you might see, like, you know, 20 of those with that particular message, and you might see 20 with another particular message, and it's all the same thing. You don't see the handmade, you know, poster board. And besides that, who has time for this? Who has time to go out in the street and start protesting about something that, first of all, most people don't feel like they're making a difference. Now, you make a difference in my pocketbook, I'll go out there and do it. That's the mentality. I won't, but some people will do that. When they get paid, sure, they're going to go out and do that. They're going to, you're going to give me, $500 for doing this? Huh? I'll come out and do it. Again, the question is, where's all the money coming from? And of course, the money is coming from NGOs that were supplied by USAID, USAID, and other organizations and agencies within the government. This money flows. It's not just coming from Soros. In fact, Soros gets refunded from a lot of this USAID funding that was going back to Soros. He wasn't losing anything. He was just, I have $1 billion and I am willing to do this. So he would do that kind of stuff, but thinking, he's a billionaire. He can just start funding this stuff. Well, he was getting reimbursed. That's how you can keep doing it and doing it all your life. And making how does he make his money? You can't just sit there and spend money all the time. He does own a lot of gold. But that's not a way to make a living. That's just a hedge against the rise and fall of things. It's a solid valuation of something. It's just craziness, in my opinion, the way they're doing this. And what they don't understand is that they're not defining themselves as a party. This is the biggest problem with the Democrat Party right now is they don't know who they are. They don't know who's leading them. They don't know what they stand for. They don't have a plank. They don't have a foundational core idea other than anti-Trump, anti-everything Trump does. They are the anti-everything. You can't keep doing that. And people are getting weary of that. I mean, they went through it 4 years ago, back in the other administration, Trump's first administration. And I think people are just, we've heard it all. We've heard all the Nazi fascist stuff. We've heard all this. It's wearing kind of thin. Now, for the hardcore leftists who just, they literally shake when they speak. They're so scared of this, the fascist regime that we're living under right now. Because they can't step back and take a breath and really look at what's going on. They have no objectivity. It's everything is subjective for these people, and they're trapped in this loop of never-ending hysteria. Now, Newsom would like to join in. They're trying to groom Newsom now, and of course he just keeps failing at every. I guess he did a speech the other day that just flopped really bad. And everybody was saying, Newsom's done. He's done. He's out now. But he keeps coming out. I think he said a couple times in a couple different interviews about how he's trying to be the tough guy. He's trying to pretend like, you're such a tough guy. Come get me. Come arrest me. Well, I don't work for Donald Trump. He made this comment the other day. I should probably play this. Let's see if I can find it real quick. Because it was right here. And the comments that I saw over this, we're just, I was shocked really at, and the more I looked at it, the more I realized, that was bots. Those had to be bots. Because there is no way that people actually consistently, like 25 people said the same thing. And it was just, there's no way that happened. Nobody had anything negative to say. Now I look at it. I typically try to pop in and say something, about Newsom or whoever it is. What happened to this? I just saw it this morning. It's not on my list of stuff. What would possibly have happened to this? It's not there. It's not there. That is really bizarre. Maybe it was Devorey. Maybe Devorey Darkins actually put it on. That's not it. Huh. Well, that's interesting. When did I watch this? This was put out. I don't know when it was put out. Very strange that kind of disappeared, I guess. The problem is Newsom, of course. He's out there sounding like, you just come and arrest me. Come and arrest me. You think you're so tough. Donald Trump thinks I work for him. I don't work for him. And who do you work for? He didn't say, I work for the people. I don't work. He didn't even say that. At least that would have been, you know, of course, that's not true either, but that's what he usually would say. And it's just weird that he, you know, where did he go? I just don't see. It's just really bizarre that it's not here. It's whatever. Take my word for it. I'm sure you can find it. If I spend a little time preparing for the show, I'd actually have something for you. But the whole idea is that Newsom is trying to position himself to be the 2028 candidate. And he keeps failing miserably, in my opinion. So there you go. There you have it. That's really all I wanted to say today. You know, as we go into the weekend, as we go into this Friday, Shabbat Shalom, by the way, we have, again, call the show, call, text, write, however you're going to send that signal. The number is 812-379-8778. You can call and let me know what you think about the current events, the news cycle, the political footballs of the day. We have, and let me know, is it affecting your life? Is any of this stuff that's going on really affecting your life? Other than, you know, making you emotionally distraught if you're, just actually affecting your life. You know,
well, I'm not making a livable wage.
Now, by the way, Senator Hawley, I'm sorry, folks. I like Hawley. He went along with this $15 an hour federal minimum wage. You know, if states want to do that, that's one thing. When the federal government centralizes something like that, I think right now it's seven something an hour. He wants to double it, double the minimum wage. We're not talking about just a percentage wage increase. We're talking about a 200% increase. We're doubling it. He wants to do more than doubling it, but he wants to do a $15 an hour wage, federal minimum wage. You can't just centralize blanket do that kind of thing because it destroys economic balance. And they don't get this. Well, why not just make it $30 an hour, Senator Hawley? Why not just give everybody $100 an hour? Why not just do that?
Well, don't be ridiculous, Kevin. Don't be ridiculous.
You're being ridiculous. $15 an hour. Well, let's just take a look at the facts here. $15 an hour. Let's just go with this. Now, look, I am for everybody making as much money as they can. I hope that everybody makes $100 an hour. I really do. $15 an hour is $600 a week with a 40-hour work week. That's minimum wage. That's a part-time job. If you're working or a full-time job making $15 an hour, if you're working a full-time job and you're getting $15 an hour, or I should say, if you're working a full-time job and you're getting minimum wage, after taxes, that's going to be, you're going to get a little under $500 there. I'm sorry, a little under $500, probably $480, whatever it is. A week. That's how much you're getting a week. Right out of high school. Now, in most parts of the country, I'm not talking New York and LA, I'm talking most parts of the country, most places in the country, $400 a week as a starter job, a single guy, single person, may not sound like a lot, but you can get by on that very, very well. There are places where you can pay $500 a month for rent. Or you can share an apartment, whatever it is, whatever you're doing. But it's a start. It's a starter job. That's the way it should be. Now, $7 an hour, of course, now you're going to make $300 a week. Believe it or not, you can actually get by on that. But it's the whole point of that minimum wage thing, especially if you've got a part-time job, it's just you can't. Employers, I guarantee you there are jobs out there that are going to go away. Of course, automation comes into this whole thing. Now all of a sudden, And when you buy a robot or you buy a kiosk, and all of a sudden now you can eliminate an employee, well, now that's $400 a week you don't have to pay anymore. Do the math on that. Let's just put it this way. That's $20,000 a year that you don't have to pay out. And I guarantee the kiosk might cost you maybe $5,000 at the most with maintenance for the year. So and it just runs all the time. Never complains. Doesn't take any days off. Doesn't have any sick days. Well, yeah, you might get sick. But it's nothing like what you're going to get with a human being having to deal with all that drama. So just all that to say, what is that? Oh, well, it's interesting. I wonder why they... Huh. I don't know what that's all about. So there you go. That's all I got to say about that. Look at that. The music's coming on. I guess it's time to stop the show. Again, it's Friday, Shabbat Shalom. As we go into the weekend, as we go into our time of rest, peace and rest, which will be nothing of the sort for me. I'll be traveling around a little bit tomorrow. Tomorrow and the next day, hopefully spending the night on the boat Sunday night, I think, is what I plan on doing. We'll see how it all goes. The weather's supposed to start turning kind of rainy this evening here in this area. And it's fairly warm. Not quite as warm as it was yesterday, at least, but still warm. So, folks, have a great weekend. Have a great rest of your month, if you don't hear from me again. Again, call the show, 812-379-8778. Let me know what you think. God bless. Have a great weekend. Lots of peace upon you and your family. Take care. See ya.